That has been my life, literature, and no other life, no other interests, whatever, because all interests are oriented around literature. I'm deeply interested in horse racing. I'm deeply interested in the psychology of a channel swimmer. And in fact, I've even thought of writing a novel upon that very complex and beautiful subject. I'm interested in politics. I'm interested in baseball. I'm a bird watcher. I'm a people watcher. But everything centers upon literature. And there is not world enough in time, really, for anyone who is totally dedicated to the creative life. There is not world enough in time. So you see, I have to contradict my happy faith. Now, Prismatic Ground was a very unimportant little book, teenage book, I began to enlarge my concept of poetry. I became very deeply interested in reading science, ornithology, psychology, mythology, all kinds of subsidiary fields. And out of that grew a book which remains recognized among poets today as the day it was published. In fact, there are many who have not forgiven me for leaving lyric poetry. I don't think I take a stroll along Bleecker Street that some mad poet does not approach me and say, "Why did you leave us?" They haven't read. They had not read Miss McIntosh, My Darling, when they were making that statement. Now they've read it and admit that Miss McIntosh is also a poem. When I write a book, I'm through with it. Really, I'm always astonished when I read it, and usually I defer that experience for 2 or 3 years. I wrote a book upon which came out just at the same time. Angel in the Forest, which is a critique of all the illusions, errors of judgment, fantasies, forms of idealism and of disappointment and of realization, which enter into two utopian communities, which did actually exist in early Indiana life. This is to be republished by Scribner's in April of this year. I was astounded then, it was a great critic success, and I was astounded to read that I had written a book which was a critique of communism, because I never once thought of communism except that the barber in the book says he doesn't like Stalin, who wears a pink shirt. He thinks that the pinks were the people who wore pink shirts. I will tell you a little anecdote in relation to that. I was astonished to read a great fabulous review praising the book in the Daily Worker. And I must say that I also received a fabulous press on Miss McIntosh from the Daily Worker and other communist magazines, and this startled me very much. There's no political, direct political content in this. A very delightful critic came to interview, and I said, please don't say that I'm a communist. You love this book so much. And then I finally said, why do you love it so much? He said, because when I was a young man, I was madly in love with Rose O'Neill, who did the Cupid Dolls. And this book brings it all back to me. But I'm trying to put a little communism into my review in order to justify it for the Daily Worker. And now I understand he's in Moscow talking it up, so maybe we'll have a Russian publication. Well, to get back to moderate fable, when I read this book, I'm always astonished that I was literally proposing certain attitudes and themes which would, you will find, develop not only in Angel in the Forest, but in Miss McIntosh, My Darling. One of them is a lament. One theme which runs through all my work is a lament for the forms of creation which are disappearing from this planet due to man's carelessness or to his aggression. For instance, I'm a great lover of Rachel Carson's Silent Spring, even though I met a bugologist on the train who was laughing that she was dead. And he, of course, didn't realize that I, too, share her concern. Not only in Angel in the Forest, but particularly in Miss McIntosh, My Darling, you will find that I seem to say that man proposes those values by which he lives and dies, and that many of the forms of creation are in our hands, and that we make reality by the way we live and think. And so here I have a poem which is later pursued in through all my work. For instance, in Miss McIntosh, there is a chapter about the passenger pigeon, the death of the last passenger pigeon, Martha, who died in a Cincinnati zoo in 1917. I understand, and I was very delighted to see just after that that someone has written an entire book about Martha called The Passenger Pigeon. So I have my chapter on Martha. This is her year, shall we say. This is Death by Rarity. Came from reading many, many bird books and knowing a great deal about birds. I fear the rarity of nighthawk, swift, ruby throat. I fear extinct the roseate spoonbill and snowy egret slain by no known enemy, slain by no known war of devastation to all and one, the flamingo, the heath hen, and wild trumpeter swan, however covert they are, slain wherever they are. For rarity precedes extinction, as sickness comes before death. There is weariness within the perfection of the shell, and the perfect bird never will be born. I fear that rarity overwhelming all marvelous names of birds whose names are poems, and the rarity of this so personal blood sleet in the golden veins.